This episode may contain content that is not suitable for children. Viewer discretion is advised.
Oh my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot in the head.
In June 1968, 24-year-old Palestinian refugee Sirhan Sirhan shot dead presidential candidate Robert Kennedy in a hotel pantry. More than 40 years later, he still claims to have no memory of committing the act.
I don't remember. I must have been too hypnotized, too much out of my senses to really be aware of what happened.
It was obvious that he had been programmed to kill Robert Kennedy and programmed to forget that he'd been programmed.
We've seen videos over the years of people being able to take and groom, basically hypnotize using neuro-linguistic programming. Mm. There's a guy named Darren Brown. He wanted to prove that you could actually take an assassin and cause him to do an assassination outside of his even knowing about it. Mm-hmm. But that just shows that there's a wide variety of reasons why you could cause somebody to go and do that. And, you know, it's like... It was such a strange thing, but I think people need to have, the overarching backing up rather than getting caught on the details, backing up and going, okay, where's this going and what did this cause?
And as the people in the world are saying, and some of those in the think tanks are saying, either way, a victory for Trump or a victory for Kamala could lead to a civil war.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a special edition of What's Up, Prof and LED Live blended together. I'm excited about this episode. You guys have an awesome ministry. Walter Vyth, Martin Smith, you guys are all the way from South Africa and coming and blessing us. Every time I see your stuff, it blows my mind. I mean, I'm shocked, but not shocked. And I think it's awesome that there's watchmen on the wall, literally bringing to the forefront things that are going on in the world, making sense of that. And I'm excited to get in this conversation because the world seems like it's coming apart real quick. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
What are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about current events and how they dovetail with prophecy.
All right.
We know that according to the Bible, there will be religious legislation. Mm-hmm. It's called legislating the mark of the beast. Mm. And we know that that is religious legislation because it deals with worship. Mm-hmm. And once it deals with worship, it's dovetailing with religious sentiments in the world. And how are these going to come about in a world that is as secularized as we have it currently? But the divide between the secular world and the religious world seems to be widening and the conflict seems to be increasing. Mm. And the question is that a Hegelian dialectic to bring about a certain synthesis, a certain change of sentiment? And we want to look at current events, particularly with regards to the elections in the United States, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump, and what the ramifications are, and how can this play into the prophetic profile? Mm. And this is exciting because for the first time, we really can see a movement in the direction.
Yeah, you see where they're going.
We see where they're going, and the voices that are coming up are saying, this is what we need. We need to set the record straight. We need to go back to morality. We need to legislate against some of these things, which both sides are calling weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they're pushing back the water like this, right? And the farther they push the water back, the harder it's going to go.
That's exactly where we're heading. Mm. So we have our cover picture here where you have the idea of ideologies clashing. Mm-hmm. And the religious world saying, no, this is going too far. We have to move in the other direction. And maybe some cataclysmic events that really galvanize people can be the stimulus to do this. And we've seen so many. We've seen what happened at the Olympics and the outcry and the galvanizing of the Christian world. And the opposition to what's happening in other religious systems. No, we are Christian nations, whether this is in Europe, whether it's in England, whether it's in the United States. everywhere we're seeing this movement. And so I believe we're at the pivotal point when these things can actually start taking place.
It's like they're raising the flags, right? They're getting ready for the march, right? You know what's interesting about these two flags being blended together that I was just thinking about? Both of them are symbols of freedom. But very opposite ends of the spectrum of freedom. I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, Christianity is sort of, you know, we should be a Christian nation.
And founding fathers and principles.
We stand for, you know, all these things over here. And then it's like, no, we want to do whatever we want to do, you know, and that's what's clashing together. I like this image.
And also, you know, the flag on the right here stands for a Republican form of government, nothing to do with the Republican Party. Whereas the one on the left stands more for a democratic system where the majority rules. Are we there to defend a constitution or are we there to bring about majority rule?
Right. If everybody redefines something, we move the goalpost.
Just move the goalpost. Yeah. So there are a lot of ramifications in this study. But one of the galvanizing factors, I believe, was the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And so many voices from the left said that it might have been fake. And there was a huge outcry and a backlash. So as far as our position is, it's irrelevant whether it was real or whether it was fake.
Yeah, what did it produce?
But what is the outcome going to be? And we're not here to question the reality thereof or the unreality thereof. We're only interested in outcomes. And so I think we should launch into it and see where this is heading.
Good point.
So interesting thing happened in March of this year. There was this evangelical prophets, if you can put it like that, that had a discussion. And this one individual actually predicted very closely that there will be an assassination attempt on Trump's life.
This is 3 months before the event.
So let's listen to this.
I saw Trump rising up, and then I saw an attempt on his life. This bullet flew by his ear, and it came so close to his head that it busted his eardrum. And I saw he fell to his knees during this time frame, and he started worshiping the Lord. He got radically born again during this time frame. I'm talking, people say he's saved now, but he becomes really on fire for Jesus for what I saw coming.
Wait, this is 3 months prior? that video right there.
Yes.
What?
Some minor details are a little bit, not quite a little right. Bit, right. I don't think it busted his eardrum.
No, but you see,
but this is how the devil works.
Like he mentioned, we know he's a Christian now and all, but this will change his life completely.
If you want to be involved in true Christianity, it has to be word-based. That was the premise of the Reformation. Thy word. That is the basis for all decision. When it comes to emotions and feelings, that is something that's a paradigm in Christianity today, which is foreign to what the Bible actually says. So just a warning out there to everyone, we have to be very, very careful that we stay word-based and not emotion-based.
Anybody can say anything, right? And that's what Matthew 7 is all about. You go to that chapter and the people at the end, they're saying, you know, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? They appear to be Christian. But he says, you know, your profession didn't match your works.
In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. These are very important points. But the point is, here is a prediction. And, you know, before the administration that is currently ruling in the United States came into power, these very same prophets were very vocal that there would be a second term for Trump. Now, it didn't materialize. But they're, of course, hoping that it will materialize this time around. And if it does materialize according to them, then they haven't given false prophets or false prophecies. So whether it happens or not, it doesn't really matter, because prophecy will fulfill irrespective of who's ruling.
Yeah. In the time of Elijah, it was God's word that stood, not the all the prophets of Baal and their word that was confusing the people.
And if this really is some kind of like setup thing or whatever, and somehow this guy knows this piece of information, right? What a great way to rewrite the script to clear the slate. If people could fault Donald Trump saying he's a filthy man, look what he's done. Oh, wow, he came within an inch of his life. Now he's on his knees praying. He's a good guy from here forward.
So reset.
Yeah, so all of a sudden you're going to immediately think, like, who cares what happened in the past?
Exactly. So whether it is true or whether it is fake, it doesn't matter.
Moving forward, it's what happens.
What's the outcome?
And also, this stirred up, obviously, a lot of emotion. Even in the comments of this video, there's people that said, I was an atheist, and now after this, how can I but believe?
Mm-hmm.
You see, so this is really pushing people into a sympathetic scenario to maybe listen more to these type of things. Like you mentioned in the beginning, Satan is at work. Obviously, demons and they also have an influence. So this person could have had a vision. You don't know. But if it's not...
Who did it come from?
Yes, who did it come from?
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the next one and see where this is heading.
Okay, so this is Trump's first speech after the assassination attempt.
So many people have asked me, what happened? Tell us what happened, please. And therefore, I will tell you exactly what happened. And you'll never hear it from me a second time, because it's actually too painful to tell. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. In watching the reports over the last few days, many people say it was a providential moment.
I'm sure that you've heard a lot of people say this, but you will never be able to convince me that that last second turn of a head was anything other than a miracle. I absolutely believe that.
I watched the video of what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania about 50 times. I think I was one of about 8 billion people around the world who watched it. And the more I watched it, the more it struck me that everything was different after that moment. Everything. And this convention is different. The nation is different. The world is different. Donald Trump is different. When he stood up after being shot in the face, bloodied, and put his hand up, I thought at that moment, that was a transformation. This was no longer a man. Well, I think that. I think it was divine intervention. But the effect that it had on Donald Trump, he was no longer just a political party's nominee, or a former president, or a future president. This was the leader of a nation. And in that moment, Donald Trump, months before the presidential election, became the leader of this nation. That was the most obvious to me. And I have to say, you know, I think it changed him. I think a lot of people are wondering, what is this? This doesn't look like politics. Something bigger is going on here. I think even people who don't believe in God are beginning to think, well, maybe there's something to this. Actually.
So something very interesting to me about just words. I've really studied words, right? How is God giving us the government of God? He's using words. Here's a book collection. And when you read those words enough times, you get this context of who he is, right? Devil's copying that. He's going, I got some words for you. He's handing you Hollywood, right? What he did there psychologically is he just blended two words together. He's no longer a man. Divine intervention. He just linked those two concepts together right there. psychologically in your mind, because you're trying to follow along, and those seeds are going in there. That was amazing.
So what effect did it have on the Christian mindset? And even those on the edge of Christianity, it galvanized them. God is in control. So whether this leads to a victory or whether it leads to an apparent failure, it still will have galvanized those. And as the people in the world are saying, and some of those in the think tanks are saying, either way, a victory for Trump or a victory for Kamala could lead to a civil war.
Oh, yeah, because if you think this is some divine thing and now it's not divinely playing out because then people are forcing it, yeah, you're going to go to war for that.
It becomes a religious battle. Yeah. It becomes a religious battlefield. It's no longer just a political battlefield.
Wow.
It's a religious ideology.
Wow.
And if one side or the other gains the ascendancy or the idea gains ascendancy, then religious legislation can and will be part of the package deal.
Absolutely.
For sure. Because the other thing is that you've got the push then of the Olympics, that whole ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
That was, we'll get to that in a while, but
that's the theatrics part of it.
That's it. If you put it into prophetic language, that was the King of the South mentality pushing against this King of the North mentality.
I totally believe that.
So this is the United States issue. Now, what if you could expand that to a worldwide Christian realm philosophy?
Well, I've put in just an interesting slide. The assassin or attempted assassin, Thomas Crooks.
This is him here.
Yes, this is him here. And people went digging to see where he could pop up. And this is a real interesting one. Maybe I won't say much. We can say afterward what something.
Thomas Crooks, the shooter, had appeared briefly in it, filmed in 2022 at Bethel Park High School, where he was a senior at the time. But what was the reason for the commercial? The commercial was part of BlackRock's campaign to showcase its commitment to education and community, and featured various students from Bethel Park High School. Among them was Thomas Crooks, who appeared for a fleeting moment. The footage, which had been largely unnoticed until now, suddenly gained immense attention following the revelation of Crooks' involvement in the assassination attempt. As news of Crooks' appearance in the commercial spread, social media has erupted with reactions. Many users continue to express shock and disbelief, while others have begun speculating about potential connections between Crooks and BlackRock. The commercial, which had been intended to promote positive community engagement, was now viewed through a completely different lens.
Well, we won't take a stand on it. It's just something interesting.
It's just that people will be inclined to put this into the conspiracy theory tank. And say that, you know, maybe there was something going on behind the scenes. Whether or not is irrelevant.
Yep. The outcome.
The outcome. What if, even if it was supernaturally planned, it's still a battle between God and the forces arrayed against him. So it becomes a religious war or a religious conflict in the minds of men. And this is where we're heading. And only when that conflict bubbles over so that the one tries to get ascendancy over the other, then you have to have legislation in order to do that.
I mean, that's what happened with the Crusades, minus the legislation, but, you know, religious war. Yeah. One idea could prevail, the other one could not.
That's true.
You know, what's interesting about that kid is like... We've seen videos over the years of people being able to take and groom, basically hypnotize using neuro-linguistic programming. There's a guy named Darren Brown. He wanted to prove that you could actually take an assassin and cause him to do an assassination outside of his even knowing about it. And they set this whole stage, filmed it up there and everything like this, and then they videoed him. He had this polka-dotted pattern that they had a woman in a polka-dot dress. She sat down in front of him. They set up a fake scenario with a huge audience. And when the woman with the polka-dotted thing came out, he pulled out a gun and he shot the guy on stage. He's a famous actor that's on stage. And then they, you know, everybody's freaking out because nobody knows about it. And then they brought the guy
back out. He came, sat down, put the gun back down, and just sort of like went into a sleep mode. And then they said, do you know what you just did? And he said, no, not at all. And they said, you don't know anything what you just did. Nope, not at all. And they brought him into the room and they showed him the video, and the guy just went white as a ghost. Like he was so shocked. I did that. They'd worked with him for a year, so they had, you know, manipulated him over the course of a year.
Oh my God. Senator Kennedy has been shot in the head.
In June 1968, 24-year-old Palestinian refugee Sirhan Sirhan shot dead presidential candidate Robert Kennedy in a hotel pantry. More than 40 years later, he still claims to have no memory of committing the act.
I don't remember. I must have been too hypnotized, too much out of my senses to really be aware of what happened.
It was obvious that he had been programmed to kill Robert Kennedy and programmed to forget that he'd been programmed.
Not allowed to enter the press language, which is, let's be honest, it's pissing into the wind. You can't.
Remember that woman in the polka dot dress?
No.
Don't remember her turning around talking to you?
No.
Remember that bit?
No.
Yes, at the moment you will have no memory of this at all, but you just assassinated a national treasure.
Yeah, you shot me.
But that just shows that there's a wide variety of reasons why you could cause somebody to go and do that. And, you know, it's like, it was such a strange thing. But I think people need to have, the overarching backing up rather than getting caught on the details. Backing up and going, okay, where's this going and what did this cause?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We always say you have to be observers.
Yep.
Don't get sucked into one of the sides.
Yep.
Step back and look at what's the outcome.
Especially Christianity. This is why it's important, where we're meeting a time that we need to understand prophecy. You know, it's really great to see where is this thing headed to in Revelation, and how did that tie back to what the elements of Daniel were dealing with? And, you know, we're seeing the outcome of that play out today.
And if you consider that there is a battle behind the scenes, a conflict between Christ and Satan, then there must be two sides pulling strings. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one is allowed to coerce and the other one never coerces. Mm-hmm. The one is allowed to do things in secret. The other one is never going to do anything in secret. So these are powers that are playing behind the scenes. And hypnosis is always part of the plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you take the Third Reich, those speeches, they had hypnotic effects on the populace, and many were slewn along. Mm-hmm. And that is a form of coercion. Mm-hmm. So it could be totally subconscious for even the role players, but the one pulling the strings, the demonic forces behind the scenes, can manipulate and use those.
That Third Reich, I'm sure, was an emotionally charged situation. Yeah, they know how to manipulate the masses. I mean, you go back and read, you know, watch what Edward Bernays came up with, you know, applying Sigmund Freud's things to the masses. And like, we know that this technology exists. So, you know, we're at the end.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, under hypnosis, people can do things that they cannot possibly remember what happened. Mm-hmm. And there is a form of total control. And it's interesting that the spirit of prophecy warns against hypnosis, but the medical world often embraces it.
Very true.
You see, and this next slide actually fits in very nicely to all of that, because I don't know if many people know some years back how influential Donald Trump was in the wrestling scene, that WWE. So
you mentioned that before we started, and I was shocked by that. I was like, what? He was a wrestler?
Well, he wasn't a wrestler, but he was very influential in the, you'll see now in the video as well. But what I just realized is, maybe in the US many people know, but I don't think many people outside of the US even knows this.
Yeah.
But look, WWE, maybe it will come to a shock to people, but that's entertainment. That's also like Hollywood style. Right. That's acting.
Cheesy entertainment.
It's not real.
Yeah. Cheesy entertainment. And what is, you know.
And,
yeah.
And you have to be a good actor.
Yeah,
you have to be a very good actor. Mm-hmm. And how much influence on the crowd do they put out there?
It's all about hyping up the crowd.
The crowd.
That's really what it's about.
So doesn't that make him then excellent at hyping up crowds?
That's a really good point.
When he goes to a rally, and look at the similarity when you see this video.
Let me just tell you a couple of things, Vince. Number one, this is peanuts. I paid a big price for Raw. You know that. A big price. Did I?
Big.
I can do whatever the hell I want.
About the only thing I can say to you here tonight is Donald Trump. Yeah.
Let me put it very simply, Vince. I'm taller than you. I'm better looking than you. I think I'm stronger than you.
Wow.
And I'm here to challenge you to a match in WrestleMania.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What's going on over here?
Donald Trump is in a world he is not familiar with. This is not real estate. This is the WWE.
Donald Trump may have to get his hands dirty himself. He may have to throw himself and get involved here. Hey, look at this! Donald Trump!
Donald Trump!
Oh, my God!
The hostile takeover of Donald Trump on Vince McMahon has happened at WrestleMania 23.
I didn't think it would.
Austin restraining McMahon is begging.
No, don't do this to me.
For a reprieve.
And it's saying,
oh, no.
They're both the same actors. I mean, they like look the same. Vince McMahon and Trump.
And Trump, you see, so that it's just amazing to me the way that he, let's say, gets the crowds riled up at his rallies.
Yeah.
Isn't much different than.
No, it's not.
He's used to it.
That's a very interesting piece of evidence.
What does an assassination attempt do to the minds of people that are sitting on the fence or people that are already decided? Doesn't it cement them in a particular mindset?
I think you look rather cruel if you're then talking smack about somebody that just almost lost their life.
Correct.
You
know? Mm. So what happened to Ronald Reagan when he survived the assassination attempt? Let's just go back in history. Well, he survived an assassination attempt and his response changed the trajectory of his presidency. So what transpired over the next few hours became the stuff of presidential and political legend. Reagan's courage over those tense hours further cemented his relationship and political standing with the American public. And the same thing is happening here with Donald Trump. He's cementing his standing, and his courage is something that even his enemies have mentioned and has turned some of them around from being anti-Trump to pro-Trump.
Mm.
So whether this is planned or whether this is circumstantial and just happens is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So an assassination attempt in Brazil brought politics into churches.
Mm.
So now you're mixing.
Was that this year?
No, this article is from this year. This happened in 2018.
The
election, yeah.
All right. There, the presidential candidate, Bolsonaro, was stabbed a month before the 2018 election. And what did that bring about? Though Bolsonaro didn't exit the attack on his life with the fist pump, and look of defiance, his recovery from the assassination attempt nevertheless energized his base and grew his supporters, including amongst significant members of the evangelical Christians who would propel him to the presidency a couple of months later. So does it have an effect on the mindset? And does Christianity or does the church often get involved and say that it's divine intervention and therefore choose a particular path?
Isn't it interesting that you see sometimes often things prior to what happens in the United States, maybe almost like testing the waters? How does this outcome happen? Or are we learning from how this happened and then going, hey, that's a good idea?
I mean, the last president that was there was an assassination attempt on was Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can parallel some of the events there, he was shot, and then there's a lot of parallels that happen.
He's an actor. Republican.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody remembers him except fondly. You know, people think back, that's Reagan is a good guy. Exactly. He was a good president. You know, people just, they're making a movie about him now.
Yes.
It's going to be released soon. I think it's Dennis Quaid or somebody is playing him. So kind of interesting how nobody, people think of Kennedy, nobody remembers him like, oh, Kennedy was a bad guy. No, it's like, oh, President Kennedy, he was a good guy. You know, he got shot.
And it's
Lincoln. Oh yeah, he was a good president, good guy. And they all sure probably had their own personal problems, right? All their defects of character.
And what's interesting is when something like that takes place in the United States of America, that sentiment spills over to the rest of the world.
It does.
In the time of Reagan, you had Thatcherism in the United Kingdom, and you had a conservative wave moving. We have a similar thing happening now. The world is not in the conservative wave, it's in the liberal wave, but there are all of these sentiments that are pushing it into that conservative wave worldwide.
You're also seeing in the entertainment spectrum different actors that you would have thought never are identifying as Christian. Like, you know, what was the guy that was always doing the Alice Cooper and people like that, that you're just like, you were working for Satan.
And Russell Brand, for
Russell
example.
Brand, Brad Pitt, you name them, they're all just, oh yeah, I'm Christian too. It's interesting.
Now,
like they're putting the vision out there for people like, oh yeah, follow this.
But there's no specific doctrine attached to it.
No.
It's just a statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it jumps the denominational divide. Many of them are turning to Catholicism, others to evangelicalism. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump himself is married to a very devout Roman Catholic lady.
Mm.
So you have this mix of religions constantly in the forefront.
Mm-hmm. It's an ecumenical religion.
Yeah.
We're all one. Mm-hmm. Christianity has to stand together. And then there's the outside enemy, the one that wants to convert the world to Islam.
Mm.
And that's what's happening in the United Kingdom now, for example, where you're saying, all right, enough is enough. And you have the discussions, we'll talk about them later, that are arising as a result. Who are you protecting, you liberals out there? Are you only protecting one side, or are you protecting the other side? It's getting to be a very interesting debate.
For sure. Now, so definitely assassination attempts really
helped
bring out a yes. This was just also a quick article on the Slovakian prime minister who opposed the World Health Organization pandemic treaty shot in an assassination attempt. That was a while ago.
So this assassination attempt, which occurred as he was leaving a government meeting, comes only a few days after Slovakia announced that it would not support the WHO pending pandemic agreement. That's another interesting one, you know, where you have this world government push in a particular direction. But these people come out heroes at the end of the process. And they galvanize the political world into a particular mindset. And, you know, the health issue was also a very important point in the election. And who was right and who was wrong and who pushed it to the point of coercion, etc. That's all part of the debate at the moment. One world government against your nationalistic orientation. It's another divide that's taking place in the world.
And that also brings religion always in it. Because you always have the one world type of view will be the more secularistic view, and the other one is the Christian view. If you want to get rid of the globalists and all of that, it's always the Christian side.
Yeah,
that's
putting
actually
personal
pushed
freedom and autonomy against what a greater body wants.
In this particular case, they mention Soros as the one who is the billionaire globalist who is funding the left ideology. And then you have Elon Musk, who is also a billionaire and is talking on the other side of the divide. And, you know, people are so riled up that they actually begin to hate certain people like Soros, for example. And the question is, then why are they allowed to operate with so much freedom? Why are they allowed to give their funds to projects like flooding the borders, for example? Why is this all permitted? It should be able to be controlled, quite simply, right? But it's never controlled. And it's always those people out there that are causing the problem. It's like front organizations. Who are the real puppet masters behind the scenes?
Real that hard to follow the blame.
I appreciate how you mentioned that division that is polarizing people. And that was the thing that worried me most about what was happening during the pandemic. It wasn't whether you get a vaccine or not. To me, it was like, I was so concerned about how are God's people treating each other during that time? Are we extending grace and mercy? Is our character going to be worse by the time this is over, or is it going to be better?
Exactly.
Yeah, and that was a big issue.
You saw the way people kind of divided during that whole situation. And I mean, it was like, we're going to fight over this? Like, you know, in a way that it, I mean, it really drew lines in some churches and things.
But I think it will also, the same will happen with this election. A lot of people, if you're not an observer and you're going to be sucked into one of the two sides, you're going to make it's going to get messy.
And people will they won't like you if you don't make a choice for one or
for
the
other. You,
you're in the crosshairs.
Exactly. So this is just some videos on what happened after the assassination attempt. And what were some of the comments that was made?
Fight! 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 We got time. Come on. Hey, we are in the fight for the soul of our nation. We are in a fight for our kids and our grandkids, a fight that we can never imagine. I believe wholeheartedly Donald Trump and Butler County's J.D. Vance are the last chance to save our country politically. I'm afraid if we lose this one, it's going to take a civil war to save the country, and it will be saved. It's the greatest experiment in the history of mankind. And if we come down to a civil war, I'm glad we got people like Schmitty and the Bikers for Trump on our side.
If you don't vote, we're not going to win the election. If you do vote, we're going to win in a landslide. Too big to rig. We're going to win in a landslide. But Christians, you know, you'll go to church every Sunday, and Pastor Paula White and all of the people, I understand, they're doing lockboxes in churches where people don't even have to go to vote. They can now vote in church. And if you do that, we're going to win by numbers that nobody's ever seen before. You know, you have tremendous power, but you just don't know that. But you have to use that power. Christians are a group that's known not to vote very much. You have to go out at least this election. Just give us in, get us into that beautiful White House. Vote for your congressmen and women. Vote for your senators. We will change this country for the better. This country will be great again like never before.
So Mark Zuckerberg called me. First of all, he called me a few times. He called me after the event and he said that was really amazing. It was very brave. And, you know, and he actually announced he's not going to support a Democrat because he can't, because he respected me for what I did that day. I think what I did maybe was a norm. To me, it was a normal response. But I was called by Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, the day before, on this same subject. And he actually apologized. He said they made a mistake, et cetera, et cetera. And they're correcting the mistake. Google, nobody called from Google.
Nice pause. I mean, what he's doing there, I mean, just putting the ballot boxes in the churches is too close to blending church and state. Right off the bat.
Yes.
I mean, there are so many things going on here that you are seeing the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
Now, a few years ago, if you said that there would be Christian legislation passed in this country, you were regarded as on the border of insanity, right? Mm-hmm. Can never happen in this country.
Mm-hmm. Tin hat.
Conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy. And It's the greatest conspiracy story in the Bible, but it's happening. Mm-hmm. Whether contrived or not is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is Bible prophecy will be fulfilled because God cannot be wrong.
That's right.
Because history has proved that prophecy gets fulfilled whether we like it or not. You can go and build a statue of solid gold from head to toe to say Babylon will never fall. But it will fall.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
That's right.
Interesting. Yeah. And you know, every time that you have examples in the Bible of this sort of world dominance, right?
Yes.
There's worship attached to that.
Always.
You need to worship. And every time that worship is forced, God has to step in. There's a lot of people on the internet that I think that this particular message and seeing that where it's going to play out in this worship arena, there's a lot of people that are linking the mark of the beast to some sort of, you know, chip you're going to take and this and that. And it's all just kind of taking your focus off of what's going on. Something that's happening over there in the Middle East, it's kind of like not focusing necessarily on, you know, these ideologies that are warring against each other, like Daniel 11. I truly do believe King of the North, King of the South, two mindsets that are fighting against each other. And you know, the religious world will dominate because that's what the Bible says. And then it will force that worship.
And if you want to galvanize the people, then the rhetoric has to get more and more aggressive. Mm-hmm. So if you want to push people into their camp and keep them there, then just increase the negative rhetoric on the other side. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that in the next one.
Yeah, this video will surely show that.
I'd like to punch him in the face. I said if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
That's it right there, pull it up.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
I'm usually really fast to talk.
Wow.
I don't know if I have words.
It's, you know, I think I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking. It's, you know, these are the Democrats, right? The people on the left of the spectrum. The ones that don't, that want more gun reform and more gun control. They don't want guns. But there's a whole lot of violent language in those comments.
I mean, we could have been watching a WWF episode right here.
Now, what will this do? Just psychologically, what will it do to the mindset of those that support the agenda of the right?
Yeah.
Won't it galvanize it?
Absolutely.
Won't it make them close ranks?
Yeah.
It's not going to show their Christianity. They're going to take the approach of fighting fire with fire instead of turning the other cheek.
Yes, exactly.
You see, so it's so much riling up that either way the election goes, it can be a problem. We've listened to how many people now talking about a civil war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was interesting that he kind of made that threat that came out. I mean, that almost felt like it was a threat. What's it going to take?
He's
civil
not the
war?
First one.
It's going to take a war. And they've opined, I mean, even from those from the Heritage Foundation, that it could be a bloodless revolution if Trump wins. But if the other side wins, it could be a bloody revolution.
Mm-hmm. I come full circle in this response and just want to encourage you with some substance that we are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be.
I mean, we live in Tennessee here.
And
I need to move further away.
Both sides are saying that. So we're living in a very interesting time. Now, the Olympic events in France are playing right into this. Now, France is such a fascinating country. You know, you had the French Revolution. And I believe that Revelation chapter 11 talks about that tremendous mind shift in ideology, where you had the Middle Ages mindset of the church rules absolutely to the mindset of the church has no say whatsoever. Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Liberty to do what thou wilt.
Mm-hmm.
And that has basically been the mindset since the French Revolution. I think it's a very clever deploy if you're thinking about demonic puppet masters behind the scene, because the Bible says it's a philosophy that comes from the bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. And this philosophy has taken over the world. Mm-hmm. Before, we had monarchies. After, you had democracies. Now, even Aristotle already said the final step before tyranny is democracy. Mm-hmm. Because eventually it will become so bad and the rule of law will just disappear because everybody wants to be without the rule of law, mm-hmm. that eventually it becomes so chaotic that the only solution is tyranny.
You desire somebody to make some sort of rule decision.
You need a strong man. Mm-hmm. Now, who's that strong man going to be? What is that picture that they showed of Donald Trump with his fist in the air? Yeah. What does that show? A weak man or a strong man?
Right? A strong man.
Yeah, they said there was a transformation in mm-hmm. this man. I mean, they're using all the language of like, you know, he's like reborn. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, yeah, just in movie making, there's you know, that guy Joseph Campbell that wrote a hero mm-hmm. with a hero of a thousand faces.
A hero's journey, a man with a thousand faces.
A man with a thousand faces. And it follows this cycle. Basically, you can fit every single story into this cycle. And it's pretty wild. I've seen people do this with cartoons, with Star Wars, with you name it. It follows this cycle. The only one that fits outside of that cycle that they don't know what to do with is Jesus. He does not fit that model. And so, you know, this kind of thing right here is following in that cycle. It's interesting.
All right. If you look at this whole campaign, and the rhetoric that is associated with the campaign. And these people are proclaimed Christians. I mean, whether it's the Biden camp, they are staunch Christian Catholics, for example, Biden, or even Pelosi that was speaker for a long time. And the other side is also claiming to be strong Christian. Do you see true Christian sentiments coming out, or do you see something else?
True Christianity really is a, you know, humbleness, meekness, mm-hmm. you know, all the fruits of the spirit, right? Seeking after righteousness. I mean, think of all those character traits that. Yeah.
That guy that came out, even Trump, fight. Yeah, that's not the true sentiment.
Jesus is going to the cross. Peter steps up. No, we're going to take these guys out. We're going to fight, right? Takes the guy's ear off. Jesus walks around. I mean, I can't wait to see that scene. Jesus picking up the ear
and putting it back.
Walking back over on the man and putting it back on, being like, guys, this is not how I want it. It's amazing that they still took him after that.
That was the religious mindset of the day that he grew up with as a Jew. You know, it was like, we need to get rid of the Romans. They're in our faces. We got to rebel against these guys. They had zealots that were killing them and they'd get in trouble and be crucified over it. I mean, their mindset was anti-Roman and will go to violence to accomplish that.
In Jesus's day, they had this same thing.
Yeah. And it's interesting that an ear played such a prominent role.
Yeah.
Can an ear change the course of history?
It certainly, wild? Yeah.
Yeah. Not the tongue. He didn't cut out his tongue.
All right. So here it was an event that took place in the United States of America. And now we move to France. Mm-hmm. And you had this activity that was going on there that was supposedly mocking the Last Supper, although they say it wasn't. It was the Olympic gods that they were mocking. But nevertheless, did that event galvanize Christianity in the entire world? What happened in France just after that? They came together in their thousands on the side of Christianity and Jesus. Mm. They had rallies as a consequence. Mm. It is a galvanizing time when Christians are saying we're being bullied. Mm-hmm. We've been bullied by Islam. We're being bullied now by secularism. Enough is enough. What do you do when you get power under those conditions? Mm. You legislate. Like,
that's right. Mm-hmm. You're going to make it happen so that people don't put you back in that situation.
Yeah.
All right, let's move a little bit further and let's become defiant against this separation of church and state. So the Louisiana governor he ordered that the Ten Commandments be displayed in the schools, and that the kids that were opposed to it, or the parents of the kids, should tell their kids, just don't look at it, but we're not taking it away. It's staying there. Then the left said, we will take you to court. And he says, I welcome it. I want it to go all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, if we look at the composition of the Supreme Court, are they going to be on the side of the separation of church and state, or will they redefine that boundary?
If you look at the majority on the Supreme Court, that will give you an indication.
Yes, exactly. What is the majority? It's the Roman Catholic majority. Yeah. And who put that majority in place? Wasn't it Donald Trump?
I've also heard that a lot of the generals of our armies, the generals are all Catholic. Yes. A large portion of them.
Yes.
So, I mean, you think if you got the dominoes or the chess pieces in the right positions, we're set up here. Interesting about your photo here. That says Declaration of Independence, and it looks like the Ten Commandments. I mean, nobody makes a document with two circles on the top.
And there's another one on the other side that says United States Constitution. And but it's also
like something written in stone. I mean, there's a lot of
linking
of here.
Church and
not
state.
Not only there, but also the French Revolution. They brought out the Declaration of Human Rights. And that was also in the form of the Ten Commandments.
Interesting.
But above it, they had the Phrygian hat, which was the hat of the sun god, Mitra.
That's the, yeah. The
and
thing
then, then you had the all-seeing eye, which is the main emblem of the Jesuits. And there's no doubt that the French Revolution was led by the Jesuits. We all know that Voltaire was a Jesuit and many of the role players were Jesuits.
Napoleon was connected somehow.
And this all happened in the time period when the papacy received a mortal wound. It had lost its power. It had no more power to legislate. What if you push it to the opposite extreme and you say, all right, let's deregulate everything and let's lead the world to the chaos that we have now, and then we'll swing the pendulum back.
They'll
and
beg for the
and they'll side. Beg for the control of the church over the state. Isn't that where we're heading? So is it a form of Hegelian dialectic? Creating opposites so that you can create a synthesis in the end.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now, Jamie Raskin is the guy who was in charge of the impeachment of Donald Trump.
Last night, I was most worried about the Supreme Court's prospective imminent abdication of its very clear duty to disqualify Donald Trump from the ballot under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And what that might mean if their decision says that it's really up to Congress on January 5th or January 6th, 2025, to disqualify him at the counting of the Electoral College votes, which really could lead to something akin to civil war, if that's what the suggestion is, which is what I think I heard.
So what he's saying here is, if he is elected, we're going to charge him with insurrection under the 14th Amendment, Section 3, and disqualify him before he is officially sworn in as President of the United States. So they will overturn the vote. He is so serious about this. Now, remember, this is the way these people have been working. They just say it, and because they have the media, it just becomes that. Then they just replaced. Now, remember, Harris was, she was incompetent. She was a joke. Everybody in the media knew that. Everybody said that. In fact, the stories were just a week before. She can't keep her staff. She is so hated. She's a monster in the office. And a week later, after hearing that for 3 years, a week later, the new reality is that it's Camelot, like Camelot, that she's going to bring back the JFK years because she's so beloved and so smart and so unifying. So when they say things, they just expect everyone to believe it. And the sad thing is, about 30% of the population believes it.
What do you think of Kamala Harris?
I think she is a politician.
Yeah.
And she's interested in the accumulation of power and control.
Do you think she believes in anything?
I think she believes in government, like most Marxists.
Yes.
I think she is a Marxist.
Do you think that she can win?
Absolutely. She can win. This is going to be a great test of the power of the media to take someone who formerly was universally disliked and transform them into a godlike figure. And they will use everything that they have to try to do that. The question is, are the American people smart enough to see through it?
Well, the bottom line of that one is, even if the left wins, what is the seed that has just been planted? If you want to save the nation, if you want to save the world, and they're saying if you want to save it from World War III, then the only solution is to take the power back. And that's why they're talking about revolution. That's why they're talking about civil war. So either way, whether the left wins in this election or whether the right wins, it's going to be a very fascinating time. Could it lead to a time of trouble such as we have never seen before?
Yeah.
Could it lead to a little time of trouble and eventually then, because of religious legislation, lead to a great time of trouble? Is the table laid? Can it happen?
You bet.
All it takes is a spark, right?
Yep.
It really makes you wonder, you know, I look over the history of the world and there's been some bad times that our world has endured. And if Jesus' words are right, there's going to be a time that no other people have ever experienced this. I think it's going to get pretty bad.
All right. But there's another side to the story. Just look at this slide over here. Trump greets Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago and says World War III could happen if Harris wins. So this is no longer speculation that the people are talking about these issues. This is a reality. We'll see how it goes. But if all works out, if we win, it will be very simple. It's all going to work out and very quickly, Trump said. If we don't, you're going to end up with major wars in the Middle East and maybe a third world war. What if he becomes a peacemaker and suddenly Russia lays down its arms, Ukraine gets silent, the Middle East is calmed down and the world shouts, peace, peace, at last. What does the Bible say happens then?
Then sudden destruction comes upon a woman as travail upon a... Or it's travail upon a woman.
So all sides could actually fulfill biblical prophecy, right?
Both sides. And interesting also, like you've mentioned before, that the media is playing a big role. Both sides is acknowledging it.
Exactly. And both sides have the rhetoric, right? So it's very interesting to watch Dr. Carson on there talking about how the media is playing such a role in Kamala. And no doubt it is, but it's also playing a role for Trump. You know, it's both sides are putting out their own rhetoric and accusing the other one of doing the thing that they're doing.
So they, if you look at this, there's no peace talks now. It's only civil war and war and war.
Yeah, that's a fascinating element. That
but like, but like you mentioned, what if there's a peacemaker in all of this?
A shift, yes.
Interesting. But even like the idea that they're going to make, you know, Kamala like a godlike figure, you know, that was kind of fascinating too. Because I don't know, it's like they don't care about God, right?
But didn't you also mention earlier that there was a lot of this nuances in the speech that made him a godlike figure? Exactly. So only got got two gods against each other.
Yeah, interesting.
So now let's put the Islamic issue into the fray and say, all right, now we have all of these internal issues with the left's policies, which are riling up Christians. Let's add the Islamic issue in there, and we have the riots in Britain. And what happened in Germany?
Germany has shut down one of the country's largest and oldest mosques and ordered a ban on the nationwide Shia Muslim organization that runs it for religious extremism. Dozens of police raided Hamburg's Blue Mosque on Wednesday morning, as well as 53 other properties across Germany, in one of the most significant crackdowns on political Islamism in the country in years. The Interior Ministry said it was formally banning the Islamic Center of Hamburg and its affiliated organizations for preaching totalitarian rule, aggressive anti-Semitism, and support for the terror group Hezbollah. Three other mosques in Berlin, Frankfurt, and Munich have also been raided and closed.
So we're having a backlash. What the Christian world, let's call it that for lack of a better term, is saying enough. We want to go back to values of Christianity. And like we said in our previous discussion, even if you're an atheist, they're saying, we want those cultural norms to rule over us and not these other norms to rule over us. And the battleground for the implementation of the mark of the beast is the Christian world. The rest will follow for economic reasons or whatever other reasons, secular reason there might be. But the battleground for the mind is the Christian world.
Yeah, and then you've got the people that are not actually open Christian like Elon Musk. They also got a lot to say about all of this.
Yes. So why is Elon Musk clashing with the UK government over far-right riots? So on Sunday, Musk tweeted that civil war is inevitable in the UK in response to a post claiming that open borders and migration had led to the protests. In one response to a post that claimed that an armed Muslim patrol group had attacked civilians and a news network crew, Musk directly tweeted at Prime Minister Stramas asking, why aren't all communities protected? Why are you selectively, as the left, protecting some and not others? Why are you not pro-Christian, but you're acting as though you're pro-Muslim? Why are you allowing these things to happen? And look what happened to those little children and all of these emotional things that are happening in the world today. Irrespective of how they happened and why they happened, they are galvanizing the Christian world into saying so far and no further.
That's interesting to hear about the wars around the world, right? In the horses, right, that are coming. Isn't the red horse the war, the black horse the death, the pale horse is kind of a mixture of all these, right? And in the order of the horses coming, does it mention the red being the first one?
The red horse is the one that has the martyrdom as its symbol. Yes.
The white horse.
The white horse is the first one.
The white horse is the first one. So does that kind of tie into there's like war? Then you have pestilence after the war. Then you have kind of this mixture of all three. And then the, obviously, Jesus riding in.
And the death is
the result of the wars and the...
The death of the truth as a result of the blending of paganism with the truth. What's fascinating here is that Elon Musk tweeted, and he's not a very strong professed Christian. Unless there is more bravery to stand up for what is fair and right, Christianity will perish.
Yeah, go ahead, because I know what you're going to mention.
His profile picture.
His profile picture, I've seen that before. He's wearing that
the Baphomet.
Yeah.
He's wearing Baphomet. It's like satanic outfit making a comment about Christianity. Is weird.
He Catholic?
Is this interesting or is that not? We had a discussion about secret societies. Yeah. Let's not get all Twitter and busted and involved in all of that. But if you put it all together, it's like we're living in an enacted circus.
Yeah, yeah. It's a WWF.
I thought he was Catholic because he seems like he recently met with the Pope with like five of his kids or something.
He met with him, but that doesn't make him Catholic.
No, I know, but I thought he was because he's not very outspoken about his Christianity.
So yeah, this is again pushing for standing up for your Christianity, and I believe we should stand up, but not with fists.
That's right.
And this is also pushing towards stuff like that.
So how did you change it? I guess I'll cut right to it. If you can fix El Salvador, what are the lessons for the rest of us? What did you do first?
We're literally the murder capital of the world.
Yes.
And we turn it into the safest country in the Western Hemisphere. We're safer than any other country in the Western Hemisphere, which is, you know, it was. If I would have said that 5 years ago, they would say that I was crazy, right?
So you did that in just a couple of years.
Yes, we did that in 3 years.
So what? Just bottom line it for us. What's the formula?
Well, I can tell you the official formula and the real formula.
Okay.
So the official formula is that we did a plan. I mean, we did a plan. It's not that. When I say official, I mean it's a lie. It's just, you know, the official one. We did a plan that was comprised of phases. Yeah, we roll up the phases and then we went after them.
Okay. So that's the official. That's the official.
Yeah, that's the official.
What's the real?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
I love that. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's a miracle, you know. I basically said, well, we're looking at into an impossible mission here. So we pray.
You prayed in the meeting?
Yes, of course, several times. Yeah.
What did you pray for?
Now, to wisdom, to win the war, to have, I thought at the time that we will have civilian casualties. So we prayed that the civilian casualties will be as low as possible. And we didn't have any civilian casualties.
And was everyone in the meeting comfortable with that?
Yes. Every all my security cabinet are believers. They all believe in God. We're a secular country, of course, but we all believe in God. So
you almost think this is the power of the media right here, running around, showing you what's the solution for all this.
Yes, what is the solution?
That gets put out and people, you know, Christianity, this gets passed around and people are going to be like, yeah.
Don't they long for the solution?
Yes, let's bring Christianity into it. And that's the crazy thing that's going to happen right now is because we want people to come to the gospel. We want the world to respond to God.
Now, can you imagine when it finally happens and everybody says, this is the way of peace, this is what we've been looking for, and one little obstinate group says, excuse me, there's an error here. We're following the commandments of men and not the commandments of God. How popular are you going to be?
Yeah.
Not.
You're not going to be popular.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. So because of 99% that it looks good, because who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want your country to flourish and not be the murder capital of the world?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like you just mentioned, that's only 99% of the story, because there's 1% poison in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that little group is going to be standing out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mix into that natural disasters that are completely like getting, you know, blown out of proportion, if you would. Satan's up in his laboratories, like causing all these things to happen, right? And then it's like the acts of God are happening because this little group over here are not playing ball correctly.
Yes. Let's have a look at the next one.
Okay. So don't know if anybody knows, but Steve Bannon, he used to be in the government of Trump, and then he went to jail recently for his unwillingness to appear before the committee.
Very deep questions. So I think we're heading towards a constitutional crisis this country's never had before.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I think I'm going to prison. They want to send me to prison in July to make sure that I think some of the strongest or more aggressive of President Trump's advocates are taken off the playing field.
I think that's right. At some point, you just have to say no. Last question. So you've got 4 months you're facing. What do you plan to do with that time? Like, what are you going to read? What are you going to spend your time doing in prison?
Well, I have a pretty strict regimen as is, so I'll continue on. I do a lot of spiritual exercises following St. Ignatius Loyola, you know, different spiritual exercises come out of the Catholic Church. Although I would actually say, if you look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I would call myself a pre-Christian. I wouldn't want to insult his name by saying I'm a Christian, given the
I know the feel
the very tough and high standard. That this is where extremism is coming from. your government has turned against you, not our country, the government. This illegitimate regime has taken over the apparatus of the United States government and is enforcing dictatorial power. And we have to stand up for it, just like the revolutionary generation stood up to the dictatorial power of the crown and people like the British East India Company.
What they hate most is Christianity, for sure. Well, you're a brave and magnanimous man. And so God bless you. Good luck.
Tucker, thanks. Look forward to seeing you on the other side.
Oof. Thank you, Steve.
I almost want to say I rest my case.
Right.
Because from the beginning, I believe that the puppet masters that have been used by a greater puppet master than them even are the Jesuits. I believe that the Jesuits were behind the French Revolution and the whole liberalization of humanity. I believe that the Jesuits are behind the reunification and moving back to absolute papal authority, and that the power should be given back to the beast. And I think these government officials have just confirmed that suspicion. Call it conspiracy if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he says he's following Ignatius Loyola, who is a Jesuit.
He was the founder.
He was the founder of the Jesuit. And these spiritual exercises are hypnotic.
Yeah.
They are the ones that lead to an experiential religion, which is not based on faith,
right,
but based on exercise.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have said anything.
Yeah.
And he chose to say that of all things. Yeah. It's crazy. And I remember, I don't know if you were on some of the shows that James, we had on, and he was talking about how a lot of these dictators throughout history, they were like, look, we wanted to study how to do this. And we studied the best model there was, the Catholic Church.
Yeah. I think if there's any question, yeah, the evidence is here.
Let people decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Real or unreal is not the point. Mm-hmm. Outcome. What is going to be the outcome? We're going to see the implementation of the mark of the beast. We're going to see the power by the 10 horns given unto the beast.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see an attack on God's people as a consequence, removing the final opposition to the government that the devil himself has set up on this planet. He wants to remove any opposition,
mm-hmm.
and God's answer will be the plagues.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, there's a loud cry, and I want to be part of it. I don't know about you guys.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
It's amazing, too, because God is very clear. In the book of Acts, it says that he pours out his spirit on those who obey him.
Yes.
Right. And I remember studying one day, and something kind of clicked. I was looking in the book of Joel, chapter 2, when it talks about all the people that God's spirit falls on. Remember, it says your sons and your daughters, your men servants, your maid servants. It's like listing these groups of people. And then you go to the Sabbath commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know the list of those people is almost the same?
Mm, beautiful.
Your sons and your daughters, your man servants, your maid servants. And it's God saying, I pour out my spirit on those who obey me, those who worship me in spirit and in truth. And the Sabbath is part of that.
Amen.
Anybody who is within thy gates, right? That's mm-hmm. why it's important to practice that now, to look into that, you know? I hope anybody out there that's watching, if you have not dived into these kind of topics, I pray that you're probably familiar, if you're watching this on What's Up Prof, you're familiar with their ministry, but maybe perhaps you haven't looked into the Sabbath issue. Maybe you haven't looked into end time prophecy events. Tell us where we can learn more about that. If somebody doesn't know where to start, where would you tell them to start?
Martin, where would you start?
Well, I think a good place can be, you can go to our website, clashofminds.com. Our YouTube channel is a Clash of Minds. The What's Up Prof series is on there. We recently started a new series, What is Truth? With Walter's son and my cousin. It's there's some interesting things coming in that one as well. Yeah, and I think we are also... There's a lot of planning of getting tools into people's hands mm-hmm. with an app and some Bible study material. And we've also recently, well, pretty soon we'll have a evangelical school that we'll be running 2 or 3 times a year. So go to our website and watch out for that.
I love it. Keith, where can they learn more about Bible topics?
Well, if you're interested in Bible topics, we have a school as well. It's a Bible school that we've partnered with another organization on. It's you can reach it at lls.tv/Bible School. It's just straight Bible studies and teaching. You can ask questions on there and just go through the Bible and study it and discover what the truth of the word is.
Thank you guys so much for joining us for this awesome discussion. I'm going to have a lot to chew on, and I'm sure I'm going to be laying my head down tonight just thinking about some of these clips that we just watched that are completely crazy. But, you know, I really am glad that God has told us what's going to happen before, because I think that we know how this is going to play out when you study it and you understand. That's what Thessalonians talked about. We brought that up, you know, when they say peace and safety and sudden destruction comes upon them, right? It says, but you are not in darkness, right? That day should overtake you as a thief. We are all children of the light. We're children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep, but put on the breastplate and the helmet of salvation. And our salvation is coming. Look up, look up.
And I want to make an appeal to God's people to unite on what we know is truth. Let's stop arguing and fighting about non-essentials. We're right at the borders of Canaan. Let's unite on the issues that are important in this time.
Amen. Good call. Good call. Thank you guys for coming on. Thank you guys for joining us. Please like this video. Share it with somebody that you know would get a blessing from this. If you haven't subscribed to our ministry or their ministry, Clash of the Minds, please go to these YouTube channels. And a simple way that you can help us out is just give the video a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. It's like one little click. That's a great way to help us get higher up in the algorithm. But we're going to ask you for something even more special than this. I believe that we're coming into a very dangerous time and place in the world, and we need your prayers. Please pray that these ministries can actually continue forward to continue to put out messages like this, because we've experienced a few months back them taking the plug out of the wall with being able to take our content down offline. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys have experienced that as well. So we are on borrowed time. Pray for us. If you want to support so we can get these things out there faster, please join up with us and partner with us so that we can ready as many people to see Jesus coming in the clouds. We love you guys. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next week.